was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls strings. It makes his little puppet stain.
Well, welcome, Resurrection Republic. Dirty Uncle Sam.
Truth Unveiled here, and today I have a lot of information to share with you. I'm going to be talking about some things that has not been getting a lot of mainstream attention, and I think you need to know about it because it's very important indeed. Now, I'm here at a report from Reuters, and it says, exclusive, White House to review ban on military gear for police leaders. And this is so important, and you're going to see why in just a second. And we're also going to be talking about some interesting reports and documents later on in the video to come, but this from Reuters says that the White House will revisit a 2015 ban on police forces getting riot gear, armored vehicles, and other military-grade equipment from the U.S. Armed Forces to police organization directors, told Reuters back on Thursday, shortly after the recent shooting deaths of police officers. At least that's what they want us to believe. President Barack Obama agreed to review each ban item, the two law enforcement leaders even said. That could result in changes to the ban imposed in May 2015 on the transfer of some equipment from the military to police, said Jim Pasco, the executive director of the Fraternal Order of Police, and Bill Johnson, the executive director of the National Association of Police Organizations. That means the police and local law enforcement can become militarized any single time they want, any single day they want. Do you know what that means? Let's keep going. Last year's ban came after a public outcry over police in cities such as Ferguson, Missouri, using military-grade riot gear and armed vehicles during protests against police brutality. Sounds like they're getting ready for a military police state to me, but let's keep going. Both Pasco and Johnson were among eight police organization chiefs who met with Obama and Vice President Joe Biden at the White House back on July 11. That was 3 days after a shooter targeted and killed five police officers in Dallas. That's what they want us to believe. Remember, problem reaction solution. They're going to do anything and make any excuse they can to bring in the military of the police, and we're going to see that in just a second. Now, High Times also talks about what's been going on with the White House to reconsider their ban on military gear for police. Now, it's just very interesting and suspicious indeed that all of this is going on and talking about all of this in light of the national conventions that we've been seeing, as well as all of the riots that are taking place and funded courtesy George Soros and all those other elite Zionists at the very top. What could they possibly be getting ready for? And are they trying to get you used to and mentally conditioned to seeing police and military all over the place? Of course they are. Now, we've already talked about much of this in the ban and what it leads to. And we also talked about the leaders of the two police organizations that are trying to do this. Of course, Jim Pasco, the executive director of the Fraternal Order of Police, and Bill Johnson of the National Association of Police Organizations. But what I also thought was very cryptic indeed is when this says, at Obama's request, White House legal counsel Neil Eggleston will review the ban, Pasco and Johnson told Reuters. A White House official added that the administration regularly reviews what military gear can be transferred to police forces, and that current rules ensure police get the tools that they need to protect themselves and their communities, while at the same time providing the level of accountability that should go along with the provision of federal equipment, like turning off their body cams? Because what if I told you that this is just another way and another step for implementing the new world order and the military police state, not just in America, but even other places as well, as we've been seeing with France and all these so-called terrorist attacks, because they're using the war on terror when we know there really is no war on terror, but they're using that propaganda to justify more militarization of police, especially in urbanized cities and neighborhoods. And we're going to even see that in the ACLU report when we talk about it later on. Because you're constantly hearing about police and you're constantly hearing about security policies and national security and threats to national security. Why is that always the case? Now, I'm here from a report from the Huffington Post. And the reason I'm here is because I want you to see that they're already doing this in France and they're doing this in many other places, folks. It's all a test and it's only a matter of time until they bring it to America in order to lock down America. And the question is, are you ready? Because it even says in France, the state of emergency that has mobilized 10,000 troops for more than 8 months since November, and it's been extended to nearly 11 months, has resulted in 3,694 searches, only 7% of which have resulted in prosecution for violations of weapons or drug laws, 477 house arrests, 67 penalties, 56 detentions, and only 6 cases brought by the terrorism prosecutor of Paris, according to the Interior Ministry. So in France alone, there has been a mobilization of over 10,000 troops in the nation alone within the past couple of months. And we've already seen that uptick and increase like never before. And the question is this coming to other places, including America? Now, the American Civil Liberties Union, or the ACLU, has also been taking note of what's been going on and what your police and military are doing and what they're vehemently training and getting ready for. And they've also took a stand, too, because I'm here from Reason, and it even talks about what they said, but it even says how the legislative council for the ACLU has even said, as we saw with the protests in Ferguson and Baton Rouge, a militarized response only escalates tensions and threatens public safety. But that's exactly what your tyrannical government is trying to do. That's what those alphabet soups are trying to do, and that's what the elite at the very top are trying to do, and you're going to see why in just a second. But it says when protesters marched in Baton Rouge earlier this month to protest the killing by police of Alton Sterling, at least that's what they want you to believe, more than 100 people were arrested despite the fact that they were demonstrating peacefully. Video footage shows officers decked out in rag gear and holding rifles, pushing protesters onto private property before handcuffing them. And we know this isn't the first time. This has been going on in America for many, many years now. And the ACLU has released a report in June 2014 detailing the excessive militarization of police departments. The organization notes that this phenomenon tends to disproportionately affect minority communities and undermine civil liberties. And we're going to be going to this report in just a second. The White House did not immediately return a request for comment. A White House official did tell Reuters, though, that the administration frequently reviews the equipment that can be transferred from the military to police departments to ensure that law enforcement agencies have the materials they need to do their jobs. Now, whether or not the White House and Mr. Obama will actually go through with these plans, we know darn well that they've been militarizing, and we know based on the Jade Helm drills and the UX drills that they've been vehemently getting ready, and they've been vehemently militarizing the police and making them into a military police state in order to bring about the new world order and in order to collapse America, literally. And I'm going to take you to the report and other documents to prove that that's exactly what they're getting ready for. And so now we're here at the actual document from ACLU, and as you can see, it says, "War comes home, the excessive militarization of American policing," and we're going to go over some of it together so you can see exactly the bigger agenda behind it. And as you see, it comes from June of 2014, so just a few years ago, and these are the contents. Now, it talks about the summary as well as their discussions and findings on police and militarism, as well as the use of military equipment by certain SWAT teams, the military training, and the legality of forced entry into people's homes. courtesy SWAT teams, as well as the purpose of SWAT, lack of transparency and oversight, not to mention SWAT and race and the racial differences between SWAT and search warrants, as well as violent tactics and equipment use that they use and carry. But what if I told you that it's not just SWAT that's involved with this? The United Nations is also involved with this too, in a bigger conspiracy in order to lock down America and turn America into a police state, literally. And they're going to use United Nations troops in order to do that, because newsflash, now the United Nations has the so-called right of use of force. And I've done a report on that just last week. I wonder what they're trying to tell us subliminally. Now, here's the quick summary. As you can see, it says, across the country, heavily armed special weapons and tactics, or SWAT teams, are forcing their way into people's homes in the middle of the night, often deploying explosive devices such as flashbang grenades to temporarily blind and deafen residents, simply to serve a search warrant on the suspicion that someone may be in possession of a small amount of drugs. And it's only a matter of time until they do that, because you could be a terrorist and then they can have the so-called right to search your home without a search warrant. Neighborhoods are not war zones, and our police officers should not be treating us like wartime enemies. However, the ACLU encountered this type of story over and over when studying the militarization of state and law enforcement agencies. This investigation gave us data to corroborate a trend we have been noticing nationwide. American policing has become unnecessarily and dangerously militarized, in large part through federal programs that have armed state and local law enforcement agencies with the weapons of tactics of war, with almost no public discussion or oversight. Using these federal funds, state and local law enforcement agencies have amassed military arsenals purportedly to wage the failed war on drugs, and we're going to talk more about that, the battlegrounds of which have disproportionately been in communities of color. I wonder why that's the case. But these arsenals are by no means free of cost for communities. Instead, the use of hyper-aggressive tools and tactics result in tragedy for civilians and police officers, escalates the risk of needless violence, destroys property, and undermines individual liberties. But that's exactly what the Zionists at the top want, because remember, problem, reaction, solution, as well as what? Operation Depopulation. This report goes on to talk about and provides a snapshot of the realities of paramilitarizing policing, as well as building on a body of existing work demonstrating that police militarization is a pervasive problem. The report itself goes on to talk more about the SWAT team and what they do and their real true purpose, and I highly recommend you come here and check it out on your own time. I'll make sure to leave the link below in the description box, but right now we're here at page 21, which talks about the discussion and findings, policing and militarism, and it talks about the use of military equipment by different SWAT teams, and it even says that it is clear from this investigation and other research that American policing has become excessively militarized. We can see this in the use of military-style equipment, weapons, and tactics designed, or should I say, designed for the battlefield to conduct ordinary law enforcement activities. Police officers use these weapons routinely across the United States to force their way into people's homes, thereby disrupting their lives and destroying their communities. I wonder why that's the case. And then they talk about some of the weapons that they use, the battering ram, as well as the flashbang grenade, and it talks more about that too. But then it goes on to say how they deploy it with SWAT teams and the combat helmets and battle dress uniforms, or the BDUs, fatigues designed for use by the U.S. Army throughout the 1980s and the 1990s. And the question I have is, why would they even need to be doing that if they're just protecting civilians? Is there something else in store? Now, what I also thought was very interesting and suspicious indeed about this report is when it talks about the 1033 program, and later on we're going to be talking more about the 1033 program in case you don't know what it is, but it says that in 2013, the Department of Defense, or the DOD, another alphabet soup, started giving away MRAPs, which are also known as mine-resistant ambush protected, for armed personnel carriers through the 1033 program. According to the Department of Defense, or the DOD, MRAPs are designed or designed to protect occupants against armor-piercing roadside bombs. In 2007, the United States spent $50 billion to produce 27,000 MRAPs and deploy them to Iraq and Afghanistan. No longer needed overseas, MRAPs have made their way into local communities. I hope you see how they're trying to turn the problem internally. Because the ACLU launched this investigation in early 2013 and requested records only from 2011 to 2012, we did not ask the jurisdiction study to send documentation of MRAP requests, so it is not possible to know from this investigation how many towns have acquired such vehicles through the 1033 program, and you can even see them right here as well. And media accounts put the number at around 500. Dallas, Texas has one, and so does California and many other places. Then it talks about the military training, and we talk more about that with the Jade Helm drills and the UX drills that we've been seeing. But it also even says that law enforcement firearms instructors have been warning that, quote, preparations for attacks on American schools that will bring rivers of blood and staggering body counts are well underway in Islamic terrorist camps, unquote. It further states that, quote, police agencies aren't used to this. We deal with acts of a criminal nature. This is an act of war, but because of our laws, we can't depend on the military to help.
Hello, my name is Aaron Weiss, and I live in the town of Poughkeepsie. I'm a combat veteran of Iraq, and I'm also a law enforcement officer. I attended the Public Safety Committee's last meeting in regards to this resolution, but I didn't say anything because I wanted to hear what everyone else had to say. And I heard some shocking things from some people and some legislators. They said that it took a lot of courage to pass this SAFE Act. Apparently, my definition of courage differs from yours. You see, if it was really so courageous a bill and it took so much courage to pass it, then why was it done in the middle of the night when no one could see it or read it? That's not courage. That's a mafia-style sit-down to divvy up what's good for the bosses. Courage is taking the right and true course of action, not the politically expedient one. And anyone who is proud of this law must also be proud of the Patriot Act, the TSA, imprisoning Japanese citizens in World War II, since all these actions were spurred on by emotional fear and rammed through in the name of public safety. Another issue is the insistence of certain people to stand on the graves of dead children and challenge those that disagree to say it to the parents' faces. Well, I, for one, will pick up that gauntlet. First off, why is dead children your battle cry? You didn't say anything about the hundreds of Chicago children being killed, and for some reason you only scream when it happens to wealthy white ones. And yes, I will say to anyone's face, my right is more important than your dead, because I fought for it firsthand. I washed the blood of my friends out of my Humvee, and I picked up their mangled bodies, and I fought day in and day out. I did more things that you people can't imagine. So yeah, my right trumps your dead. I earned it in blood. I gave up a lot for this country, including my youth, and better men than me gave up a whole lot more, so that all you, myself included, could enjoy the rights that are guaranteed to us in our Constitution and Bill of Rights. And we didn't go through all that to come back home and watch the surrender of what we fought for happen based on the demented actions of a couple madmen. So in closing, I would like to address specifically the legislators we all know who are going to vote against this resolution. I understand you will vote against this resolution based on some misguided sense of the public good. However, as a law enforcement officer, I'm curious to know about your true resolve. Since voting to take away someone's rights is totally different than being asked to enforce it, I want you to consider this. If you support the SAFE Act so wholeheartedly, are you willing to stand with law enforcement members and lead from the front to enforcement? And what I mean by that is, if a constituent of yours feels so alienated by this law and the manner in which it was passed that they refuse to comply with it, are you willing to stack up on their front door and go in first? I bet if a clause was in this bill that required you, the elected leadership, our elected leaders, to go in the door first, I bet you would not be so steadfast.
But there was that.
And that is eye-opening, because that's where they brought law enforcement officers who got jobs thinking that they were actually serving and protecting. They stepped up, many of them, many good men that I've known growing up. My father was a judge. Some of the best friends that I have are police officers. And I see now
a movement to pit the people against the officers, against these Marxist groups. That is what is being fomented right now. We have to call it out for what it is and identify what's programming us so badly. We'll be back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
In my court, and I'll retain this for the future. In the event we
welcome back,
prosecutor, and the world will never get to see
Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN. Hey, Chris, is Chris still on the line?
Well, of course I am, Thomas.
Oh, I'm glad you're still there, brother. Sorry, you had to wait for a few minutes, but how are you?
Well, I'm holding up pretty darn good under the circumstances, but I had some commentary related to the playing those troubling audios that you did.
Oh, well, please.
Well, first of all, describing this as a military action, I think, is completely inaccurate and wrong. It's a militant action. This incrementalism, boiling frogs,
yes. Mm-hmm.
The nudge factor of nudging us into a militarized or militantized police state has nothing to do with orderly, regulated, controlled, and let's call them well-conditioned and trained troops, but in fact is perpetuating a macro-aggressive, hostile occupation force with full military armaments, man pads, MRAPs, APCs, armor-piercing rounds, lasers, probably rockets, drones, who knows what else they're going to have.
Yeah, but what if folks like us need any kind of 30-round clip for or anything? You know, if they're expecting some sort of invasion force, and hey, that would be the only justifiable reason, right, Chris? I mean, really, that's the only thing that they can tell us, you know, if they're full of lies. But still, I mean, if that was the case, then I do believe Heller D.C. said that they have no duty nor obligation to protect us. So what's the deal, man?
Well, remember, they're private foreign corporate mercenaries masquerading, impostering, if you will, as so-called public servants.
Yeah.
Many may not know that, but some of us, that, like yourself and myself and others that listen to RBM, likely are very aware that the corporate nature basically rebukes any pretense of allegations of being a public servant. And you, of course, just cited the fact that there is no obligation for them to protect or serve anybody. They're protecting the corporation.
No, I always hear the term officials. Officials say this, and officials say that. So much for the people being the government, huh?
I agree with the oath part, OFF.
Oh, Lord.
Other aspect I think is meritorious, of course. We now know that the Constitution is a doggone piece of paper. It's worth not the paper it's written on, because it's not for we the people. It's for the corporation, at least they have today.
You know, there's a lot of folks that are waking up to this, Chris, and a lot of people are learning the jurisdiction that was pretty much subverted, created by force, military occupation then. You know, and the fact of the matter is, you know, I hear about people who talk about history. As a matter of fact, I want to roll a clip with Dinesh D'Souza and Richard Dreyfuss, and I want your comments on this. I have a few of my own, but this kind of shows you the mentality of the left variety. You have that clip ready?
I will let you know that your volume is just a little bit soft coming out on the airwaves. And
sorry about that, man.
I'll listen very closely.
Yes, sir. This is going to be a little eye-opening in a way. God, roll that clip.
On Friday, President Obama met with the leaders of Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador, and he told them to be ready to receive immigrants that have fled their countries. Well, the president is also prepared to go ahead with executive action on immigration reform by the end of the summer. Meanwhile, Republicans are challenging an administration plan to house more illegal children at U.S. military bases. Joining me is Academy Award-winning actor and founder of the Dreyfuss Initiative, Richard Dreyfuss, as well as conservative commentator and filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza. It's great to have both of you guys here. Richard on remote from San Diego and Dinesh here in studio. Richard, let me start with you, because since we have last talked, there has been quite a bit of news and development in the area of immigration. You know, I think all of us, I'd like to believe, think that America ought to be a welcoming place. I've always said we ought to get on our knees every night, and thank God we live in a country people are trying to break into, not one they're trying to break out of, and that's a good thing. But are our leaders being sensitive enough to the issue and balancing the legal aspects and the humanitarian?
I would say that we're not being told enough about either side of this issue for us to be informed enough to have a real opinion. I do think that there's a kind of ethic in the country which is on the side of compassion. And when you're talking about children, you have to be slightly more compassionate than normal. But our newspapers and our schools don't instruct us anymore in what the reasons are for these things to happen. So, in fact, I have to say, I have no opinion about a current event because we're not taught how to study them.
Hmm. Interesting perspective. Dinesh, you are yourself an immigrant. You came to this country, saw it from a different perspective than many people, but you came legally. Now, when you see the issues that we're seeing on the border, which basically I don't think we have much of a border these days, how do you react to it?
Well, I agree with Richard Dreyfuss that the great puzzle here is why now? Tens of thousands of people are mysteriously showing up on the border. Now, we call them refugees. They're not refugees, because a refugee is somebody who is coughed up by a tyranny in a foreign country or some sort of revolution that is causing an exodus of refugees. None of that's happening in South America right now. South America is the same as it was 10 or 20 years ago. In fact, most of the governments down there are democratic. So I think what's going on can be explained not by looking over there, but by looking right over here. Our political leadership has been signaling that it's not serious about locking the border. And moreover, it wants to give amnesty to lawbreakers in the country. So pretty soon the word gets over down there that if you show up with kids with outstretched arms, this is a country that's decent, that has people who have compassion. It's going to be hard for them to say no. So I fear that the Obama administration is exploiting the decency and goodwill of the American people in order to make a political point.
You know, Richard, the immigration situation, I think it's different when we're talking about kids versus we're talking about people from the drug cartels, criminals, potential terrorists. You know, do you have any idea? I mean, I know you said, well, you don't really have an opinion, but I can't imagine that you don't have an opinion. How do we make the distinction between the good guys and the bad guys if we don't check them when they come to the door, if we don't even have a door?
Well, if we don't check them, that means we don't check the history of the region. And to say that 20 years ago is the same as now, we had gangs killing families, and people worked against those gangs through their fathers who were then killed. And it took 20 years for people to realize that these kids were on their own, and they'd better get the hell out of there. But it's not that it's a different situation up here, it's the same situation that we've learned how to deal with they've learned how to deal with differently. And I admit, you know, we're not supposed to take care of all the problems of the world. We are not. But when children show up,
it's good he admits that, huh?
and we want to turn them back to what? To the people who rape their sisters and kill their brothers? I don't think so.
But a lot of the crime that happened to these kids happened as they made the journey to America. I mean, they weren't as vulnerable when they were in their home countries, but they were really abused by these coyotes who made a lot of money bringing them to the U.S. and bringing them illegally. I think people are mad at their government, not the kids. I don't blame people for coming here. I blame the government for not doing anything to make sure that we know who they are.
Look, I have nothing but compassion for the people who want to come over. Frankly, if we lifted the curtain, half the earth would come over here if they could. But my point is I would just tell them, look, there's a process. We were a very generous country. We let in 800,000 to 1 million people legally every year. So I understand your plight. There's a line, and there's a process. Follow the process, and you'll become a citizen. Mm.
Stay put, because Dinesh's new film, that you, I hope, is seen, it's called America, Imagine the World Without Her. Richard thinks the film may not cover all the important parts of our history, and he'll tell us why when we come back. Stay with us.
Now, hang on. I want you to hear the rest of it.
Well, we're back with Richard Dreyfuss and Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh, the film, America, Imagine the World Without Her, that particular scene I thought was very poignant because it kind of shows that kids are indoctrinated into a version of America that may not be complete and full. Do you feel like that your film gives us a different version, a more complete picture of America?
I think what's happened is that there's a narrative that's developed in America since the 60s, and this is now taught in our colleges, but it's spread out into elementary and secondary schools. It's the idea that American history is defined by America being the bad guy. Now, take the example of Columbus that was mentioned here. The interesting thing is Columbus came in 1492. America was started in 1776. So right there, it's very interesting that America gets blamed, not only for Columbus, who, by the way, never landed in America, but the crimes of the Spanish conquistadors, the Portuguese, the French, the British. And all of this is now saddled on America. Why? I call it the shaming of America. What's happening in our schools is there's a political desire to undermine the patriotism of young people, the natural patriotism, by telling them that the American story is a story of oppression. So what I do in the film is I challenge that narrative, and I say, look, from an immigrant's point of view, it's not that America hasn't made mistakes, but all those mistakes that are blamed on America are universal.
You know, Richard, I don't know of anybody who has been more outspoken in saying that we don't know our history very well, that we fail to understand the uniqueness of America. You've seen the film. What's your reaction to Dinesh's film that tries to present a different side of America?
Well, actually, it has a title that says, America, What Would the World Be Like Without Her? And it never addresses that question. What it does is to do a very traditional overview of America's past and say, well, other people had slavery, and other people had capitalism, and other people had thievery. It never addresses the
issue of
what did we do about these things.
Well, I think it did, though, Richard. Let me stop you, because I think it did. And in fact, one of the points that I complimented Dinesh on was that he said that we were the only nation that addressed slavery from within. We didn't have a country come in and take us over. That we addressed it. We fixed it. Women's rights. We fixed it. It took a long time.
Excuse me, 1 second.
Okay, go ahead.
Excuse me. The problem nowadays in America is that we're actually expected to understand American history from sound bites and from chapter headings without going into the chapter. The fact is,
who said so?
The United States Civil War was fought for slavery, but it was begun for union. And if you had asked the Northerners to fight for slavery at the beginning of the war, they would have sat at home and said no. It took them 3 years to get to the point of the moral level of fighting for slavery. That's a complex difference between we fought for slavery or for against slavery.
Yeah.
But what Denise is doing is trying to defend against any mistakes. We didn't do any mistakes that other people didn't do. That's not an answer.
Do you avoided the mistakes?
Yes, we did this.
I was trying to make 2 points. The first point is that actually slavery was not ended first in America. The British ended slavery before we did, and the French as well. But there weren't very many slaves there. So the difficulty in America was that slavery was critical to our economy. It was driving the Industrial Revolution. So we were the only country to fight a great war to end slavery. And Emerson said this was not the revolution of the oppressed. It was the repentance of the tyrant. And what he meant by this is that the northern boys who died on those battlefields, 300,000 of them, died to secure for the slaves of freedom that the slaves were not in a position to secure for themselves. That is to the moral credit of America. The other point I wanted to make is that reform in America is always a going back to the principles of the American Revolution. I'm not saying we didn't do wrong. Segregation was a specifically American wrong. But when Martin Luther King said, here's my promissory note, who wrote it? Not the segregationists, it was Thomas Jefferson. So Martin Luther King's civil rights movement would not have been possible had it not been for the principles of the American Revolution itself.
Richard,
you know, I don't want to be called into a partisan discussion because I am not a partisan. I'm neither a Democrat or a Republican, a liberal or a conservative.
I object to the Constitution
of the United States. And I would say the most mysterious thing about me being on this show is this book is called America, What Would the World Be Like Without Her?
Okay,
and
that's good.
Answers
that's good.
That question.
Now here, folks, this isn't the point that I want to make, Chris, and maybe you can comment after I share this with you. But
You know, the funny thing about this is, first of all, he says that he's not partisan. He's not left. So the leftists, yeah, right? The leftists here are pushing this version of Marxism, anti-capitalism. You already heard the smear that he made towards capitalism, Richard Dreyfuss. And you know, I think that the other thing to note here, and the reason that I bring it up, just like you mentioned incrementalism, is that we're watching primarily a neoconservative network. Now, I happen to agree with many of the things that Dinesh D'Souza says, and this isn't a critique or a slight against him. But Fox News, you know, I just was watching another clip before the show of Hannity using the term over and over again, political correctness, political correctness. So we have these neoconservative Trotskyites that are using these Marxist terms, and they're making it part of the regular language of the mainstream media on the right. And then on the left, you get smeared with that that notion that and I like how he puts this off on all the people. Well, we as American people, we're not taught history. We're not taught how to read anything past a headline or what are you talking about? Does anybody ever thought about going to the Congressional Record, you know, and just going back and reading it? This is Richard Dreyfuss. My God.
What a novel concept, Tom. You know, I listened to a very, very studious investigative researcher, much like yourself and Bruce, named Michael Gaddy, who had been all through the Southern libraries of the halls of justice, the state houses, and the Stoic academic locations, libraries, to research the actual documents to authenticate the true history of the South as opposed to the revisionist Haas story that is provided by those who would try to deceive us with false history.
Yes.
And this is one of the true dangers that we really don't know unless we do our own due diligence or listen to others like yourself and hopefully myself who actually do go and read these ancient documents of historical significance that have manifest operation on being able to discern what the original designed operating intents, purposes, and the motivations of the founders who put this country into operation that might be totally an opposite and contradicted to what is posed as the purposes that we're under today.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's amazing how we can sit back and see so many people being programmed every day. And it's like, you know, it is like fighting an uphill battle when talking to these folks. I mean, it is staggering the amount of people who believe this mainstream media garbage. And like he was saying about slavery, right? The war was fought over slavery. And how Dinesh says, you know, it was an economic driving force, which was started by whom? I mean, this was so engineered.
The word term believe is constructed around the word lie in the middle of it.
Oh, isn't that the
and
truth?
And so when you believe the lies that somebody else tells you is truth and adopt them for your own belief system, you're deceiving yourself.
Yes.
You must do your own diligence, prayerfully discern and qualify what you read and study, and come to your own self-determinate conclusions as to what the actual factual history really is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're left to depend upon what others tell you as to actually knowing from your own first-hand, competent, due diligence, obtained knowledge and investigative research.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and Richard Dreyfuss is correct in the fact that, you know, people don't take the time to read it. But it's not that they're not taught to. They're just they've been dumbed down to the point where they don't even know to. I mean, I have arguments with people regarding our research all the time. all the time. And they say, well, of course the 14th Amendment was passed. Just go to Wikipedia. Oh, how many times have I had a nickel for every time I heard that insanity?
Well, I'm not convinced that Wikipedia is a reliable source of
you think?
Information.
You fact, think?
It's operated by DARPA, isn't it? And Mark Zuckerberg and other...
who knows?
I mean, the preposterosity is pretty much undeniable if one actually looks between the gloss or the veneer of what's posed to be reliable information. I think lie is an operative word in that one, too. Reliable.
Yeah. You know, I remember, was it Tom Hartman, that loon, that said that they should bring back Reconstruction. Do you remember that? I think you were on when I mentioned that. That was a kick in the head, huh?
I had a hard time tolerating Tom Hart. He was such a left wing extremist, kind of a liberal sort of guy in my estimation, but he had sort of a left wing slant to him.
and don't you love, you know, when you have these personalities that have an effect on so many people. I mean, people look to people in Hollywood like they're some kind of, it scares me. They have this guy on, Richard Dreyfuss, and his idea that capitalism can be put in between thievery and but he's not left, bro. It's insane. This mental indoctrination is just being pummeled into the heads of generations of Americans. And, you know, I don't know, man. I don't see it getting any better as far as the quality of the news.
Well, I recently observed somebody on the RBN network, I think it might have been a different show, that I know that one of the earlier morning shows, I think it was Chris, I can't think of what his last name, Hinckley, the road warrior. He was talking about memetics or meme ticks. Of course, ticks are blood-sucking insects that satisfy meme by sucking the knowledge out of your head or the blood out of you or the revenue out of you by telling you over and over the same lies. And Stalin said that if you tell a lie often enough, people will begin to believe it. And I think that really came from Edwin Bernays, the father of propaganda, who said that if we can convince them that it's for their benefit, then they will grant their consent readily and perhaps irrationally exuberantly, and therefore our victory is their consent.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Well, you know, to cut through all of this, I think that it's important that we educate the next generation. I shudder to think if we don't. I've met more people that are homeschooling, Chris, than I've ever met.
Yeah, well, you know, when you've got the Central Soviet styled propaganda indoctrination centers posing as educational centers for what they term free education, it's probably worth what you're paying, which is exactly nothing. And people realize they have a duty from the Creator to take a proprietary interest in their own offspring and to be mentors, guides, stewards of their own children and take personal responsibility for rearing them up with the Christ-based beliefs that we were supposed to teach our children with. There was a song, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Teach Your Children, I think, could be a great bumper music for your breaks. But, it's very apropos. You know, there were a lot of those 60 songs that were really almost prophetic or perhaps foreordaining what was to come. I'm not sure if they actually knew or I think it were really there were people on the inside that really knew what was coming and had been in the plan, the works, the New World Order, the Golden Age, the Rainbow Cult, put a rainbow on it and make it look like lipstick on a pig, but it's still only one world demonization and Satanism.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. I mean, when you look at Hillary Clinton getting up in front of the nation and saying that the unborn person has no constitutional rights, and she's telling a half-truth. Actually, she's telling the truth. What she's just not telling the rest of the people out there is that any person, as defined by their law, has no constitutional rights. You know, it's amazing. I mean, did you hear that clip?
It is undeniable. She is a psychopathic, pathological liar, a mass murderess.
Well, yeah, but you know, the one time that she told one of the greater truths in a lie that she ever told was when she said that the unborn person has no constitutional rights under the law. Think about that for a minute. That's what Hillary Clinton said. Those exact words. How do you analyze that, my friend?
I caught her telling another truth by accident. She actually professed one here last week. She said that words are important. She was talking about the dangerous words that she alleged Donald Trump was saying, that she manufactured. He meant something he didn't say or intend, and twisted it to her own legal advantage, as attorneys are prone and professionally do, with almost ad infinitum. Lie, makes your opponent say something so you can frame the blame on him. In spite of
that,
she was a serial woman abuser and aider and abettor and cover her up, and somebody that enabled her husband to engage in serial habitual woman violation, sexual abuse, and in some cases, I think, rape and abuse. And of course, she laughed about getting
off. We'll be right back. Chris, I gotta stop you there, bud. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN, and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You designed it, sir. You wanted it foolproof. You told me every television in London.
Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and oppression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and suppressing your submission.
We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others. They will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror.
Preface whatever's going to happen in the future with the fact I'm not your typical cat rapping to shoot you. Anything given certificate is under ownership. Once you know the true predicament, you got a bone to pick. Citizens had to be pledged as collateral chattel before the monarch could start the international battle. They tricked your parents into a human monopoly. That's why they registered you as biological property. When Britain hatched the plan to snatch the land, they gave you a legal fiction. Now that's the jam you find yourself stuck in. You're such a cool victim, indoctrinated in Rockefeller's public school system. Your presidents work directly for the crown, truly. I did my due diligence because it's my dedicated duty. Other bureaucrats trying to fool me. The Commonwealth is dying to rule me. All I can tell them is welcome to Guantanamo. Thank you so much for coming.
You could be free again.
Oh, that would be grand.
Only if you would see my friend.
First, you must understand.
They pathologically pretend.
Hoping to get you on the ship
and persuade you to agree with them.
And that's it,
man. It'll never cease to end.
Perpetual conflict.
Free again.
Indeed, you could take the shackles off.
But have you ever really been?
According to maritime admiralty law,
you never will be free, my friend.
If you fail to reclaim
your tax money they freely spend on wars that never seem to end. United States is not a country, but a corporation contractually created by the Constitution. Let there be no debate. Your founding fathers intended you be a citizen of your respective state, not a citizen of the U.S. domiciled in Washington, D.C. Oh, yes. Prior to 1921, upon arrival, the birth of babies was recorded in the family Bible. But after the Great Depression, people really lost their noodles. So they signed a document that simply squandered all their scruples, joining the ranks of former slave children, becoming a 14th Amendment citizen. The Social Security Act, written by actors, manufactured to make it look like a beautiful package. Too bad you never heard the news. The Social Security Act equals voluntary servitude. Notice the deceptive language. You bow to tyranny again. And voluntarily, my friend, 14th Amendment citizen, you better learn to speak to them if you want to be free again.
The President of the United States don't answer to the Queen. He answers to some shadowy cat that you've never seen. Frank Van de Klip wrote about it in the Evening Post. Now the creature from Jekyll Island is robbing you blind while he's smiling at you, cause he's just a ghost.
To get a job in America, you need a SSN.
To go to work in Canada, you need a card people call a SIN. They changed the names, but it's all the same, no matter where you've been.
Welcome to the
citizen. Call me when you are free.
Photo ops. Photo ops.
It's absolutely heartbreaking. All over America, people are suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, irregular heartbeat, clogged arteries, and high cholesterol. Can you live your life free from sickness, pain, and fear, and experience your body healing itself? Look to Heart and Body Extract, an all-natural supplement that aids ailing bodies. It has an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. End the pain without all the side effects of prescription drugs. People 20 years younger will envy your vitality. Want a happier, healthier you? Then go to heartandbody.com or call toll-free 866-295-5305 for free information. Heart and Body Extract offers a lifetime guarantee with no price increase in over 14 years. What are you waiting for? Call Heart and Body now at 866-295-5305 for your free information. Go to heartandbody.com, 866-295-5305. Distributor inquiries welcome.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.